Over the next 2 years, federal agencies will try to meet almost 100 different performance goals as part of President Obama's second-term management agenda. Seth Harris is a member of Denton's Public Policy and Regulation Practice and former Deputy Labor Secretary. He implemented labor's management strategy. He is my guest in the executive suite today to talk about what you should do in the time that is left in the administration and in your tenure at your agency. Seth, it's great to have you in the studio. Thank you very much for coming in today. You presented at the Management of Change Conference, and we had a chance to chat about your presentation afterwards. I thought what you had to say about your experience at labor and dealing with the management agenda in the first term of the administration was very instructive. Tell me where you were coming from when you put together the materials that you presented in that to give us a context of where you are in on management strategy.
Sure. First of all, thank you for having me. Really a pleasure to be here. My perception of both where the American people are on this issue and where a lot of people in the federal government are is that they view government performance as something like an oxymoron, sort of like military music or airplane food. And I wanted to make the point that we actually can effect change. And the only way to do that in a meaningful way is not to get up and talk about it, but to actually do it. The other thing is, I really believe in the mission of the U.S. Department of Labor. I'm committed to it. I've spent 12 of the last 21 years at the U.S. Department of Labor and care a great deal about working families, and that's the mission that they try to carry out. I think it makes a huge difference whether government does an excellent job or just a fair job, and certainly a poor job. And so I felt that I could really affect improvement in the lives of working families most effectively, most efficiently, not necessarily by trying to get a bill through Congress, although I was certainly involved in that, or getting an executive order signed, although I was involved in that as well, but by making us better at what we did all day, every day. And let me say, the employees of the U.S. Department of Labor are fully committed to the mission of the department. So we used to joke that the task was to unleash the inner DOL, create systems that were up to the mission orientation of the department and the people who work for it, and to try to improve people's lives and make that our focus every day. And I think that it actually worked out very well. There was a high motivation level, and it wasn't that we were doing anything remarkably sophisticated. It really wasn't rocket science. There's other agencies that do that. It was really just sound management practices and every single day talking about how can we do a better job.
You were very eloquent in your presentation about your affinity, your love for President Obama and for Vice President Biden, and the experiences that you had with both of those men. I love the cabinet meeting story that you told, which we'll have you tell if we have time at the end. But you were also very explicit in your criticism of where you would have liked to have seen a different outcome as far as a management agenda. What was your perception of the difference between what would have helped you develop a management agenda specifically for labor from OMB and from the White House and what you actually got?
Well, I want to reiterate the point that you made. I could not be a more enthusiastic supporter of the president and Vice President Biden. I signed up with the president's campaign in January of 2007 when absolutely nobody but him and his family thought that he had a chance. I'm not really sure about everybody in his family, frankly. certainly nobody in my family thought that he had a chance. And I uprooted my family and moved them here so I could serve in the administration. So I'm really deeply committed to both of those men. I think they have been transformational leaders. I think they've done a remarkable job on many fronts, up to and including saving capitalism from its own depredations early in the presidency with the Recovery Act. So I couldn't possibly have a higher opinion of them. But I think that we as an administration fell short on putting forward a management agenda. Now, remember back during the Clinton administration, reinventing government entered the lexicon and became a regular part of the way we did business. And it was Al Gore's baby, and he really did a terrific job driving it. And during the Bush administration, we talked about the MBA president. He was very serious about it. They had a management agenda that they implemented right at the beginning and that they carried through the entire administration. Not that I necessarily agreed with it, but they had an agenda and they had people talking about performance and management consistently throughout the presidency. We really have not done that in the Obama-Biden administration. Now, the big exception to that, I think, is the implementation of the Recovery Act. I think the vice president, who the president put in charge of implementation of the Recovery Act, did a remarkable job, an astonishing job, and the story has not been told as fully as it should have been. He was effective as a leader. Everybody understood what we were expected to accomplish. He held us accountable, and he set up a system where he would be held accountable, by, not just by the public and by Congress, but by a transparency board that reported directly to the public through recovery.gov, an online site where we reported every piece of information so the public could make a judgment for itself. We were required to report regularly. I personally had to report to him on a monthly basis in a meeting with a lot of other deputy secretaries and Recovery Act administrators, and it was a sustained effort all the way through the 18 months of the implementation of the Recovery Act. And even thereafter, the vice president and the handpicked staff, his handpicked staff, held us accountable and really were focused on making it come out right. And as a consequence of that, this largest ever in the history of America stimulus bill was implemented in a fully successful way with an infinitesimal amount of waste, fraud, and abuse. And let me say, it was a remarkable accomplishment. And I really do view it as having saved capitalism because of the effective implementation led by the vice president. So to some extent, I view that as the Obama model for management in the government. And that is leadership, accountability, reporting, and a sustained effort. And the vice president, who I think is a grossly undervalued leader in the administration, and I think that's a shame, he really understands how government works and made it work in this case. He really put that system into effect and led it personally. And let me just, if I could just make one more point about this. One of the best definitions of organizational culture that I've ever heard is that organizational culture is an ongoing dialogue between leaders and the people in their organization about how we do things around here. And in the Recovery Act implementation, that's what Joe Biden showed us. Vice President Biden showed us that by talking to us regularly, weekly, monthly, sometimes daily when we had meetings with him about what we were trying to accomplish with the Recovery Act and how we were going to do it, it really did transform the way agencies worked together, how agencies did their jobs. I carried it back to my organization and tried to infuse it into my organization, and that was the central principle of the turnaround performance measurement and performance management effort at the Labor Department, and that is every day we were going to talk about how do we do things around here? What does performance mean? What does excellence mean? What does accountability mean? And we talked about it and we yelled at each other and we screamed and cried, and it was not a beautiful picture every day. It wasn't all standing around holding hands and praising one another. But it was effective in that we were focused on performance, and we had an organizational culture that was focused on performance, and Joe Biden showed us the way.
As you painted that picture in Cambridge, and as you painted it just a moment ago, I have no trouble at all imagining both the smile and the snarl of Vice President Biden as he's directing the people to hold them accountable for what he expected to be done with the Recovery Act.
Let me just say, one of my favorite little trinkets that I took out of the administration with me, you know, political appointees get very little love and even less money. But one thing that I did get was a picture of me and the vice president after a Recovery Act meeting. And he, in the picture, I look a little surprised and he looks pretty stern. And that's because he had been a little rough on me during the meeting and a number of things that I had needed to do. And he did that with some other people and he mixed that in with praise. But he came over to me and I said, oh my goodness, this is wonderful. The vice president's going to come over and tell me how wonderful I am and I'll be able to tell my mother about it. Mm-hmm. And he grabbed my hand and when he's really going, man, he has a vice-like grip. And he grabbed my hand and he said, I'm counting on you, man. So I'm like, wow, I knew that I was really being held accountable there. But I also have this great picture of that moment and I'll never forget it.
As you talked about leadership and what you saw in the Recovery Act with Vice President Biden and what you tried to implement at Labor, I heard a theme throughout both of those points that I would take to be a very positive theme if I'm leading an agency or responsible for performance in either an agency or part of an agency. And that is, the most important thing that you say it shows itself in agency performance is not something that OMB tells me to do, and it's not something that legislation tells me to do, and it's not something that my boss tells me to do. It's something that I can do whenever I want and however I want, and that's be engaged, show up, and let your people know from in a positive, constructive way, this is important to me. I care about this, and I'm going to be paying attention to what you're doing, and I'm going to be supporting you in what you're doing so that we really get the results that I want. Do I have that right, do you?
I think you do, but it's not enough just to say it. You have to demonstrate it, and you have to engage in sustained effort. You can't be a drive-by manager and expect people to respond to the impulse. So I'll just describe the system that we had in place at the Labor Department, and I think it will capture it very well. Every agency was required to have an operating plan. And in the operating plan, they laid out what they were going to accomplish over the course of the year. They had to lay out annual targets. They had to lay out quarterly targets for just about every activity they were going to engage in. They had to explain why they were engaging in those activities, connect those activities to the outcomes they were going to produce, and how we were going to test whether those activities, those strategies, actually produce the desired outcomes. So we'd get these operating plans. I read every page of every operating plan every year. And we would have a meeting where I would go through it and I would make detailed comments on every, you know, I had 17 agencies at the time, up to 19 at the end, participating in this process. And I was reading hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of stuff. So in addition to that, I met with every agency head and their leadership team every single quarter. And each of them would write me a detailed memorandum with charts and graphs laying out how they had performed in that quarter compared to their targets. And again, I would give detailed comments on their briefing memo and get those comments to them in advance of the meeting so they would come to the meeting prepared to bring the conversation to a much deeper level. Now, it wasn't just that I'm a micromanager and I'm an inveterate editor. That happens to be true. But what I was trying to communicate was, this really matters to me, and I want it to really matter to you. So I am watching. I am engaging. When you write a memo that's 40 pages long, I read 40 pages, and I'm going to give you comments on each and every one of those pages. Every now and then, I just threw a comment in so they would know that I had been there. But I gave detailed comments and mostly asked a lot of detailed questions. And what we found was, and this is in social sciences, they call this the Hawthorne effect, which is the involvement of an observer changes the behavior that you're observing. The fact that I was watching, the fact that I would comment on whether or not people were paying their bills on time, changed the behavior of the bill payers. Mm-hmm. The fact that I was engaging in a dialogue about is this the right strategy or is that the right strategy meant they in the agency had to have a conversation about it before they came to see me and really figure out why they were doing what they were doing. So, you know, I joked with everybody in the process that there is no death penalty for failing to meet a target. The only penalty is you got to have a further conversation with me. Now, for some people, that felt like death. Absolutely felt like it. But we had these very rich, often difficult, but frequently uplifting conversations where folks far outperformed what they thought they were going to be able to perform and really could explain to me and to the public why they were doing what they were doing. That's the biggest rap on government. We can't figure out why you're spending our money on that. Why can't you get this right? Well, we had those conversations in private, and the staff of the Labor Department was prepared to have that conversation with the public, with Congress, with OMB. And I think it really transformed the way they thought about the department.
Now, you talked a lot about briefs and memos and data and reading and reviewing. But did you connect that, or how do you recommend leaders now connect that data, all of which is necessary? Understanding where you are and where you're going certainly is necessary. But then connect that to activity that leads to getting the results that you want.
Well, that's a fantastic question and one of the hardest questions for government. One of the things that distinguishes government from a private sector for-profit business is that for-profit businesses know what they're trying to achieve, and that is profit. In government, it's much harder often to articulate what you're trying to achieve and also to draw the connection between the strategies you're undertaking and the outcomes that you're supposed to produce. So just for example, the Labor Department has 6 law enforcement agencies, employment law enforcement agencies. And in order to know whether or not a particular law enforcement strategy is achieving compliance, is an extremely difficult thing and requires a significant investment in program evaluation, social science research that connects strategies and outputs to the outcome of compliance with the law by your regulated community. So what we did at the Labor Department is we took a tiny program evaluation budget, $3.5 million for a 17,000 person, $85 billion corporation regulating 140 million workers in 7.5 million workplaces in a lot of cases. And we dramatically increased that budget. It's now a budget that's close to $30 million. And right now at the Labor Department, there are 55 program evaluations going on. And every agency has a five-year learning agenda where they've laid out what they're going to learn about whether or not their strategies accomplish their outcomes over the course of the next 5 years. And then we invest in it. So that issue, are you producing a better life for the people you're serving, is the critical question. And the answer is you got to invest in it. And we did.
As I sat and watched your presentation at MOC, as you worked up to that, what we just talked about there, I thought, I hope he gets to outputs versus outcomes. And about 5 seconds later, you got to that, as you just did a moment ago. And we just have a couple of minutes left. In the time that we have left, that's what I want to cover. Setting outputs is easy. This many people got into this program is easy in a government structure. Outcomes, this many people have a better life, is far more, in many cases, subjective and more difficult to measure. How do you make that transition from figuring out how to get people through a particular circumstance, a training program or whatever, and go about doing the measures that are necessary to make sure this really worked the way we wanted it to?
Right. Well, that is the critical question in government. And for some agencies, it's a lot harder than the Labor Department. So, for example, how do you measure the outcomes for the U.S. State Department? Or how do you measure the outcomes for the Defense Department or even Homeland Security in some cases, not all cases? So for the Labor Department, it is a challenge, but we have to keep in context that there are harder challenges in the federal government. Nonetheless, one part of it is to have a very serious conversation about what you're measuring. What some people in government have done in order to have something meaningful to measure is they've measured processes or they've measured inputs, because it's countable and it's easily countable and it's something that people understand. Let me just say, including on Capitol Hill, and it's something that a lot of people on Capitol Hill are very focused on. How many investigators do you have? How many investigations are you doing? But even measuring outputs can be a challenge. So we had to have a very rich discussion about that. And let me just say, we evolved our measures portfolio. We expanded the number of measures very dramatically, but we also dropped a lot of measures out that we thought were not measuring the right things. But also, you have to be very clear about what the goal of the program is. So if you have a job training program, the goal is not to graduate people from the program. It's to get them into a middle-class job or get them onto a career ladder into a middle-class job and stay in that job, keep them in that job. So actually, in our job training programs, we have pretty good outcome measures that address that question. But in a lot of other programs, we really don't. So program evaluation is a very important part of that. But keeping focused on what is an outcome and what really counts is the important challenge. Now, the big problem, and I want to acknowledge this for a lot of people in the government, one of the big problems is program evaluations take time. And you can't wait 2 or 3 years to hold people accountable. So you have to have some kind of a proxy measure or some kind of a measure that allows you to say, we are on the right path. So what we required every agency to do in its operating plan was, if they were going to undertake a strategy, they had to give us a working hypothesis about how the outputs of that strategy were actually going to produce the desired outcomes. And then we would use program evaluation to test that. But if you can't even say how a strategy and a set of outputs are going to produce the outcome, you're not doing that strategy anymore because it doesn't make any sense. You've got to at least be able to articulate it. That's the first measure. The next measure is, can you count it and how do you do it? And program evaluation is an important part of that.
Okay, I lied when I said that's the last topic we were going to cover because I do have a couple more minutes. As you prepared to transition out of the Labor Department, you had instituted a lot of the things that we've talked about. How did you go about making sure that those things stayed baked in, the things that there was agreement on as you talked to people in Congress and you had members of the other party say, I like what you're doing here? How did you make sure that those things that were universally agreed upon as successful stayed in place and didn't become part of the Wiebe syndrome? We be here when he before he came in and we be here after he's gone, so we'll just keep doing what we're doing.
Right. Well, let me just say, I've only been gone for 5 months, so it could very well be fumes at this point, but I don't think it is. The real test will come when we change administrations, because that's where the real pressure comes in. But within an administration, when you have the same leadership team in place, absent me and a few other people, if you have succeeded in demonstrating to the team that's in place that the system that you've put in place actually benefits them and allows them to do a better job, they'll keep the system. They will want to make it their own, and they will want to tweak it, and they will want to maybe drop some things out that they found annoying and unnecessary, or they found annoying and maybe necessary, but they don't want to do it
anymore.
But
really annoying.
Right. They're just annoying. On the whole, if people believe that the system is helping their agency to be successful, they will keep it. Let me also say, if the system isn't helping them to be successful, then they shouldn't keep it. That's the test. They shouldn't just do it because a 6'3", 250-pound deputy secretary intimidates them into doing it. They should be persuaded that it's going to succeed. Now, another thing that we did at the Labor Department to try to institutionalize this system was we liberated the data. We made available to all 17,000 employees of the U.S. Department of Labor a lot of the same performance data that I was getting in my quarterly meetings with the agency heads. So any employee of the Labor Department, any manager, any line supervisor can go online in the intranet of the U.S. Department of Labor and check out to see how their agency is doing. They can also check to see how other agencies are doing. Now, it was slow. We didn't open the door and 17,000 people rushed through it. People are beginning to understand it, but the unions at the Labor Department, I think, are quite focused on it because they want their members to be held accountable according to what really matters in the organization, not to a bunch of process measures or subjective judgments by the supervisors. A lot of line managers were very proud that they were successful in the system. They want to keep it up. And we also created a cadre of really talented performance and budget folks throughout the department, a lot of young folks in particular, who really own this system. They were elevated in the system because they mattered. You know, the assistant secretaries didn't want to walk in that room without their numbers person sitting next to them. And that, I think, made a big difference. Their status mattered in the organization. I think that Secretary Perez and Deputy Secretary Liu are picking up on the system, and they're going to make it their own. And let me just say, it was by no means perfect when I left. I used to joke that we were 4 or 5 years into a 10-year process. They will have to carry it forward, and then we'll see who President Clinton appoints to run that office.